There is a name. Thank the Lord for that name that's above every name. And every knee one day shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord indeed. And we can sing about that, we can preach about Him, and live for Him. And that ought to be the desire and the goal of every Christian, be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's sort of what, sort of along the lines that I want to deal with tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. And we'll read down through the remainder of the chapter, down through verse 21. And we'll be looking at these verses primarily and be in a few other places, but primarily right here in these verses as we look at the things that will motivate us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be motivated to do different things and have to have something to sort of stir up our hearts and our lives that we would do what we need to do. And sometimes it's the same way in our Christian walk with the Lord. We need to have that motivation to serve Him the best of our ability and not give Him second best, but give Him our very, very best. In verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 5, we read these words, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we no more. Therefore," verse number 17, very familiar verse, "therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Of all the words that Paul has written in our New Testament, these are some of the most powerful words for the believer, for the child of God, that we can be constrained, we can be motivated to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us here these things that he has done for us. This chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians has a lot of different verses in it. Verse number 17, that verse we noted just a moment ago, a new creature in Christ. Thank the Lord, when we get saved, He makes all things new. He doesn't not just in the patch-up business. Thank God He makes us fresh and new, and old things are passed away. Then we find in verse 18 that we have a ministry, and we'll deal with that just a little bit tonight. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Then in verse number 20, we are in Christ's stead, or we are to be doing what Christ did. The word "in Christ's stead" just simply means to do what Christ would do if He was here, do it in His place. He took our place on Calvary. He was in our stead there on Calvary's tree. Now He has given us a ministry. He's given us a work to do, and therefore we're to tell people and be to be reconciled unto the Lord, to be brought back unto the Lord, to serve Him. So tonight I want us to just look at a few of the motivations for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest motivations that we have is that we're not going to hell. That's not one of the main points that I want to deal with tonight, but you and I tonight, we have been we've been bought with the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not, when we die, when we leave this world, we're not going to have to suffer the pangs of death of hell throughout all eternity. And what a motivation that is, that we should be willing and able to tell others the same thing that happened to us could happen to them. And that is that part of that ministry of reconciliation that He has given to us. But in verse number 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That word constrained means has conquered us. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered us. One day he conquered us with salvation. We may have struggled with him. We may have fought with him. We may have argued with him, but we came to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. He conquered, constrained us, and gave us life and gave us liberty. We surrendered unto him to be willing to follow the path that he gives to us, be willing to go whatever direction he'd have us to go. And he constrains us now to be a faithful witness in service. The Lord didn't just save us to sit down and do just a few things. He saved us for a purpose and for a reason. And God has a purpose for every one of our lives. And that purpose may be different for each one. And God does have a different position for us. God has a different purpose for us. But we have a service to render unto the Lord for the benefits that he has given to us. So he has constrained us. The love of Christ, the love that we sing about, that last song that we sang is about the love of the Lord. And because he loved us, now we love him. And not only do we love him, but we love the world. We love those around us. We love those around the world that we've never seen because they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the salvation that was given to us. So the love of Christ conquers us or constrains us, whereby we would be willing to be motivated in salvation for others and for them to be surrendered to his will and to serve him just like we do and to follow his direction. That's why we have missionaries to send the gospel around the world. That's why we support families and men and women and families that leave this country and go to another country, leave their home even in America and go to another place in America. Sometimes we have a wrong view of what missions really is. It's not all around the world. It's all around everywhere we are. A missionary is to be serving the Lord wherever, and we're motivated, we're constrained by his love because of that great love that he has shown unto us. If the Lord had never loved us or shown us that love, we would, of all men and people, we'd be miserable. And we would still be in our sins. We'd be lost and be dying, going to hell. But thank God his love was shown to us. And now he constrains us. He conquers us that we can serve him and be in that service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the second part of verse number 14. But we thus judge that if one died for all, that last few words here, then we're all dead. Everybody in this world is in the same condition. It doesn't matter how much lands or possessions they may have. It doesn't matter how much goods they may own or how much they have in a bank. It doesn't matter who they are. They are still all dead in sins and trespasses against the Lord. And they are described in the Scripture in many different ways. And so one died for all. Jesus died for every individual, for every person. I believe it's a whosoever will gospel, whosoever will let him come, drink of the water of life. And so therefore Jesus makes the offer to all would come unto him and believe upon him. And so if one died for all, then we must come to the conclusion that all people are dead in sins. There's not a little bit of good in us, a little bit better than somebody else. We all have the same deceitful heart. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse number 9. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? And the only one that can know it is the Lord, and he knows our heart. He knows our minds. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And sometimes folks say, well, if I know my heart, well, sometimes we don't know our heart. Our heart is very, very deceitful. Sometimes our emotions play a big part in some of the decisions that we make, and emotional decisions sometimes, many times, are wrong decisions. And just about every decision that I've made under emotional times, it's always come back. I realize maybe not the best decision that could have been made, but our heart is deceitful. And Jesus died for deceitful people. Jesus died for depraved people. Individuals, people that have no knowledge of God. Not only that, they don't want to know God. They're deceived in their attitudes, and their minds are darkened. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right here where we are, just a chapter excuse me, a chapter back, in chapter 4, verse number 3, says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forth. The mind has been darkened. Men have been deceived, and their hearts are darkened, and they do not. And the Bible says here the gospel is hid. And if it is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The gospel's not hidden to you and I. We know what the gospel is. The biblical interpretation or example of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a gospel in the nutshell. But the gospel is much more involved than just those few little things. That's the foundation of it. But if our gospel be hid, the gospel here represents the Word of God, the message of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. If it's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And the reason that they're lost and it's hidden to them is because their minds have been darkened. It's overshadowed and overtaken by the devil. We are living in a dying body. One of these days, these bodies will go back to the dust of the earth. But what we do with Christ will determine what kind of resurrection that we will have, and whether we will be resurrected unto life or resurrected unto eternity. And that's talking about the body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we understand that that resurrection is of the body, that one day we will be with the Lord. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul said, my desire is to be absent from this body. See, God made us a trinity just like He's a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Man is a Trinity. He has a body, he has a soul, he has a spirit. And Paul says here, I'm confident. And he says, I'm confident. I know this one thing. I'd rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And I believe that's the desire of every Christian. We'd rather be with the Lord as much as He gives us desire to live our lives, and we should live our lives to the fullest and to be motivated for the cause of Christ. It'd be far better, Paul says, that if we were with the Lord, and it'd be great for you and I. We talk about folks that are that have died. We talk about they're in a better place, and you and I tonight that know the Lord know that they are in a better place, absent from the body. The body goes back to the dust of the earth, but the spirit, the soul, goes to God. And one day they'll be reunited in that resurrection day. So we have a constraint that conquers us, that we to tell people about the Lord. We have a condition that realizes that everybody's lost. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody has a deceitful heart. Those that are lost have a darkened mind. We are all living in a dying body. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we without the Lord, without Christ, we are spiritually dead. Dead spiritually, have no understanding concerning the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we realize, we know from the Scripture that's the condition of the world. That's the condition around us. That's the condition of our friends, those that do not know the Lord. That's the condition of our family that do not know the Lord. And we're constrained by the love of Christ, and it ought to motivate us to realize that they are one day going to face eternity, and we need to be constrained and conquered in order to tell them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they too can go to heaven if they will but believe and trust the story of salvation, the story of the cross. Thank God tonight for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross ought to motivate us. It ought to motivate us. It ought to call us and to make us realize that He is that one that is so great for us. We are to realize that we had a Savior to die. He died on the cross of Calvary. Verse number 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He was made sin. Jesus Christ was made sin on the cross of Calvary. There He took upon Himself the sins and the sin nature of mankind, every man, woman, boy, girl. He has he took their sins and suffered and bled and died in our stead. He died that we might have life. And so the cross is a motivation because the Savior died that we might live. It was a ministry of suffering. God made him to be sin. Isaiah 53 says he was a suffering Savior. All through the Old Testament, you'll find that the ministry of the Lord, the ministry of the Messiah, would be that which was of suffering. And Isaiah is the clearest that is given to us, that he would be sacrificed. He was made to be sin. He was the sacrifice that every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to, the sacrifice there on Calvary. I read an article this morning. It's a fairly lengthy article. I saved it because it's very, very interesting. But in Israel, they have now appointed an individual that they want him to be their new high priest. Now, Israel hasn't had a high priest in a long, long time. And they don't have a temple. And so without a temple, you don't have a priest. But they have everything in order that one day, and the article read that things could change within a week. The man could be trained to be the high priest. And the high priest was that one that would offer sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. He was the one that would go into the Holy of Holies and there offer the blood offering on the altar. And we do know that we've been studying in the Revelation. We know there's going to be a tribulation temple. There's going to be another temple that will be built. We don't know when and don't know exactly where, but there will be a temple erected because the Antichrist will sit in that temple and set himself up as God. And the wording in Revelation is very clear. That is a literal man with a literal temple that will set himself up as God and try to bring defeat to the nation of Israel. They're getting everything ready. All the orders are ready. All the harpers are ready. All the singers are training. And all they need is a place to worship. And we know the Lord's coming. And we know he's coming soon. And well, that's why we need to be concerned with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and sacrificed himself. He was our substitute. The Bible says here, God made him to be sin. Those next two little words, for us. He was made sin for me. He took my place. He took the world's place. And it's wonderful to say that Jesus died for the world. But it is great when you're able to understand that Jesus died for me. Because of very personal work that Christ did for us. And that ought to motivate us for what he has done for us. How that he has called us. And given us a message. We are to declare his name. The cross is a ministry to the saints. The scripture says here, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto him. That is our message as a believer. We're to tell people, we're to warn people of the impending judgment of God that comes, but we're to reconcile, we're to preach unto them the reconciliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to declare. We have a message to tell to the world. We have many things to say, many things to reveal to a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die so that we can declare. We can give the story. We can tell the message. We can preach it from pulpits. We can preach it from street corners. We can tell it in our rooms, our homes, and everywhere we go. We can declare that Jesus Christ is our deliverer. And we can tell that to the whole world that Jesus saves. He says in verse number 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's what the desire of the Lord was, to reconcile, to bring together. The word reconcile means to bring two parties that are at odds against each other, to bring them together into a relationship. And that's the reconciliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind in his natural state is at odds against God. He has no hope of ever going to God, has no way of getting to the Lord except through Jesus Christ. And so we have the message that we are to deliver, be ye reconciled unto God. God says he has a controversy against us, and God says there's many, many problems, but we can be brought together, and the only one that can do that is our great mediator, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. He's the one that can mediate the differences that we have, and so we are to declare this reconciliation and so that the sinner can be delivered. One day I heard the gospel, one day you heard the gospel, and we were delivered. Verse number 17, if any man be in Christ. Only way you get in Christ is to trust him, is to believe upon him. If any man, that's the person, any person, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are. I know some men that are trying to start churches in some hard areas. But if any man comes to know the Lord, then we are to be able to understand that we can be the deliverer of the declaration that Jesus saves. And he tells us here, if any man be in Christ, not in the church, not in something else, but in Christ. If we're in Christ, then the Bible says we are a new creature. That's the product of being in Christ. In Christ is to be born again. That's a position that we have. And then we are a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, some people try to make that verse, that last part of that verse, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, as an immediate transaction. Well, my salvation was immediate, but I'll tell you what, there's some things that didn't pass away as quick as maybe they should have. And there are still some things that maybe should pass away in my life. There's some things of the flesh that need to pass away. But if we're in Christ, old things are passed away. We can see those things as they disappear from us. It's called growing in the grace of the Lord. It's called coming up to know him and to have that love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are new creatures, so therefore he can do those things for us. So the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which would give to us and would show to us the motivation. If anything would motivate us, it ought to be the cross. Old rugged cross on a hill far away, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the details of that day when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should motivate us that we would serve him. We need to realize, understand that the love of the Lord has conquered us, so therefore we're to tell the old story. We ought to understand that the lost, they're not just a little bit lost, they're lost. They're not just a little bit in trouble, they're in trouble. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need God, and they need that Savior that we talk about. And so therefore, what do we do? How do we deliver the message? We point them to the cross of Jesus Christ. The church has a lot of activities, and churches have a lot of things they do. But the most important thing that a church has to do is to proclaim the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we depart from that, then the reality or the realization of why we are here becomes insignificant. For he has told us in his word that it's the preaching of the cross that he has chosen to save those that are lost. Those that we're talking about here that are darkened and deceived and ungodly, scripturally, spiritually dead, and the scriptures is null and void to them. We are to tell them about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of good things in the Bible. Everything in the book is good, but the most important thing for a lost man is not exactly how he should live, but the best thing that you can tell a sinner is that he has to be in Christ, that he has to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Without that, we have nothing. Without that message, we have no message. Without that, we become nothing more than what a lot of churches are tonight, and that's just a social club to help people and to give folks the needs that they have and to answer the phone calls that come in that they need this and they need that. You know, for the most part, communities and people in communities. They look at church as nothing more than just some kind of a social organization that can help them with whatever need they have. We get calls all the time. And if we took care of all those, we wouldn't be able to pay our light bill. Wouldn't be able to do what we need to do. Now, there's some folks that have needs, and as God helps and directs, we try to help some folks. But one of the first things I ask people when they call, I said, well, have you talked to your pastor yet? And it gets quiet on that side. It gets quiet then because you know what? They don't go to church. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a church. And so they go down the phone book and they call this one. I had one person call me 3 times one day and they forgot every time that they'd called me. I may not can remember names real well, but I can remember voices and I can remember certain things and certain stories. And so some people look at the church as just a social organization that can fill their car up with gas or fill the refrigerator up with food or to pay a light bill. And sometimes those things are needed. And I don't get me wrong on that. Sometimes things are needed in that. But that's not the position. That's not the main reason for a local church. The main reason for Grace Baptist Church is that we preach the gospel. We tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them how they can help and better themselves in a way, spiritually speaking, and until they get the inside taken care of, the outside doesn't clean up at all. It gets dirty again. The Lord talked to the Pharisees. He said, you clean up the outside of the cup, make it look pretty good outside, but inside still full of dead men's bones. What the Lord was saying there, he said, you're still filthy on the inside. You look pretty good outside, and that's what a Pharisee was. His heart was wicked, and yet he thanked God that he wasn't like so-and-so. Well, that's not the reason that churches are existing tonight. The reason that we exist as a church and others that I know that exist as a church is that we proclaim the gospel in our communities, in our areas, in our homes, and around the world so that people might realize what Christ has done for them, that He can save them. He has saved us. He's made us a new creature. We're not like we used to be. Thank God we're changed. We're not what we ought to be, maybe, but we're not what we used to be if we're saved. Thank the Lord for that. So the constraint of His love should motivate us. The condition of the lost should motivate us. The cross certainly should motivate us. And then lastly, the closing or the ending of our life should motivate us. We're here just for a season. James says that our life is like a vapor that appears for a moment and then it's gone. And that's how quick it goes by. It doesn't matter how long we live, when we look back at it, we say, where has time gone? I was talking to someone the other day, just recently, and they said, this happened 25 years ago. And I said, are you kidding me? Time goes by. And that ought to motivate me and ought to motivate you to realize that we don't have all the time in the world. We just have all the time that God permits us to have. And the closing of our life, we're confident if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. He says in verse number 9 here of our chapter, wherefore we labor. Paul says we are leaving this world. We'll be absent from the body. We'll be present with the Lord. Then he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. And whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Paul says, I'm leaving this world. I'm going to be absent from the body, but I'm going to be present with the Lord. Therefore, I'm confident. And therefore, he says, we labor. We work. We serve. We strive. We sweat. We work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that, the greatest, maybe should be the greatest motivation of all, is found in verse number 10. Paul's talking to believers. So tonight, if you're a believer, Paul's talking to you right here in verse number 10. And he's certainly talking unto this preacher. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That just simply means one day, Lawrence Richardson is going to stand before the Lord. And I'm going to give an account of everything I've done in my flesh, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, don't get confused. The judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment are two different times and two different judgments. And don't get confused either, because neither one of those judgments will determine whether you go to heaven or hell. You see, that's determined here. That's determined what we do with Christ. These judgments are for this judgment for the believer here in chapter 5, verse 10. The judgment seat of Christ is when we stand before our Lord and we give an account for everything that we've done. I'm afraid I'd want to hide when I stand before the Lord. I'm afraid that I might not be so proud of some of the things that he will know. And by the way, he knows them all. He knows my thoughts. He knows my intentions. He knows my heart. He knows my actions. And one of these days, I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to give an account. Why did you do that? Why did you not do that? You see, there are sins of omission as well as commission. There are some things we omit doing that we ought to do. We just don't do it. There are some things we commit when we shouldn't do, but we just do it. And one of these days, those of us that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Christ has conquered us, made us a new creature, old things pass away. One of these days, we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God, and we're going to give an account. And I'm not going to have any witnesses that I can call to go on my behalf. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. I'm not going to have any excuses. I'm not going to have anything to say except I did this or I did not do this. And so Paul gives a sobering thought here in this last verse number 10, those words. For, and he includes himself, for we must all stand or must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, he uses the word all at the first part of the verse, now everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's to receive rewards or the loss of rewards. It's what we do in our flesh. What have we done today? Would it be something we would want to stand before the Lord with? Or is it something we'd like to hide? What did we do yesterday or day before? What did we do last year? What have we done for Christ? One of these days we're going to stand and he's going to judge us, and he's going to bring up all those things. When is it? Things that's done in our bodies while we're living, breathing upon this earth. What we have done in our body, on our flesh, according to what he had done. And then it says, good or bad. When men write biographies of themselves, it's called autobiography, very seldom do you find men writing the bad things about their life. That's just human nature. We're not going to air out all those bad things. When someone writes a biography about someone, then they look at the whole life and they write the good things and the bad things. But when we stand before God, the book is already written, and he knows every detail of it. That ought to make a motivation for me to serve the Lord. That ought to motivate me, because I want to stand before Him and Him say, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." That ought to motivate us as much as being arrested by His love. That ought to motivate us as much, if not more, than those that we know that are lost. It ought to motivate us more, or as much, as the cross, is that one day I'm going to stand and I'm going to answer. That's a shivering thought. I'm going to answer. And God's going to judge me. He's going to give me rewards for things I've done good, things I've served. Not in order to go to heaven. That's settled here. But it's our rewards. It's our crowns that the Scripture talks about. I think the Bible talks about 5 specific crowns that we can win. And then in the Revelation, it tells us that these folks, when they've gone through that judgment, they're going to take their crowns. And you know what we're going to do with them? We're going to lay them at His feet. Because everything we've got